He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's the Friday already edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and more just kind of tepid news about the jobs market. And that's got the market in a nice rally mode again. I think we were up all 5 days this week. If we close up today, the Dow up 169 right now. That's a 0.5%. The Dow is back to 34,000. How about that? It's at 34,008. We've got the, we've got the S&P 500 up 37 points. That is 86 basis points. We're at 43.54, which is 7 weeks to go in the year. Where will we end? The NASDAQ is up 112 to 13,407. That's 87 basis points. The small caps are really up. They're up 3% today, almost 2.89. Crude oil is flat. Gold is up 990 to 2003 as Hezbollah is weighing in this morning on the Israel war. But here's the shocker of the day. We'll have Barry weigh in on this after this little two-minute intro here. The 10-year bond, get this, down 15 basis points. We were at 5%. Now we're at 4.515. We're down 50 basis points since threatening that 5% area. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Barry, I'd have to say that maybe we're seeing the first little, the first little bite out of the jobs market this past week.
Right. It's, you know, very interesting. I mean, you talk about a, you know, basically a 0.5% move in the 10-year in, you know, really probably, I mean, close to like, I think it's only been like a week and a half. Feels like it's been forever, but it's only been really a 2 week span. And, you know, obviously there was, you know, tons of, was going through the different stories that, you know, of this week. It was a huge, you know, almost a huge amount of data, and the market's done, you know, a great job in terms of, it's been very resilient, and then a lot of that driven by the 10-year dropping, I don't know how many basis points this week. I mean, just 30 or 35 alone. But
unbelievable.
The jobs, jobs report came in this morning, lower than expected in terms of, new job growth. It only came in at 150,000. I think the market wanted 179,000. And also you had a big jobs report last week or last month at 336, and they actually revised that down to 297. So not only did it come in, you know, lower, than expected, by about 29,000 jobs, they also revised the previous, you know, big number down, down a pretty significant amount. So, unemployment ticked up just a little bit. I mean, at 3.9%. So there's some things that are showing whatever the Fed's doing that it's working, and there's no need for them to do any more.
Yeah, and this really is the first. You know, I can just say I've been saying it for several weeks now that it seems like inflation is pretty much disappearing from the landscape. And the market loves that, because now the market is saying no more rate hikes. Let's just hope he doesn't do a rate hike in December like he did several years ago, where he made a boo-boo and did a rate hike at the wrong time, and it wasn't good. I don't see any more rate hikes, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, and I mean, just what the market has digested this week, I was, you know, kind of writing it down since it's the end of the week. But, I mean, you know, whether it's geopolitical issues, you know, huge amounts of earnings that came in this week, and we'll get to, you know, Apple's report from, you know, yesterday afternoon as well. But, you know, just a Fed decision week. You had, you know, jobs week at the same time. We had the Treasury announcing their, you know, what they need to spend, you know, need to keep the coffers filled.
Yeah.
But just a huge amount of info, and the markets held up very, very well, which is, you know, which, you know, shows really those technical levels. It's really kind of the technicals really kind of played out, it seems like, at least for this week.
I mean, they were stretched as far as they could be last Friday. And I said, you know what? This is really kind of the market's at a critical point here. Either the geopolitics, that was the only problem I could find, because the earnings looked good. The bond market looked like it was ready for a big rally. But the geopolitics was the one thing holding it back. The geopolitics are still out there. But the two most important factors in the market are, number one, earnings. And I've got to believe that the earnings, when we count all of the beans here this week on all the companies that reported, we're going to be revising earnings estimates upwards for this year, for this quarter, for next quarter, for next year, and for the year after that, because they, for the most part, they've been astonishing, you know, with a few misses here and there. And by the way, we have one of the biggest losers in the market today. I think it's down 20%.
So, 40%, right?
Yes, I always talk about when we've had a lot of big winners this week. AMD, one of the biggest, others, ANET out there. And then today, Fortinet is down about 20% or so. So that does come along from time to time, you know, an earnings miss, and of course we have to reevaluate. Now, yesterday we had the best day in the market since April, with the Dow up 500 points. And, well, look, number one is earnings, and number two is interest rates. And what have interest rates done? Down 50 basis points. We were over 5%, and
yeah,
now we're at 4.51 today. That's incredible, and that allows the multiple to expand. Probably the multiple got down to 17. That seems to be an indicator that we're oversold, because every time the multiple is pulled back to 17 on the forward PE, we get a big bounce from there, almost like a rubber band that has stretched too far. And, boy, it really snapped back here today or this week. We've also had a slew of earnings. And a weak jobs reports, okay? You know, I don't feel good about people that maybe are getting laid off or whatever, or job cuts. I read about a big job cut. I actually know somebody that works for that company here in the South Carolina area. I think they're laying off 10,000 people. But anyways, it's been just a good week for the markets, both the stock market and the bond market. It'll be interesting to see where we're at right now, and I'm sure I'll be revising that S&P 500 target price. You know, all else, there's all the other news out there. I hear it from everybody. What about the dollar? The dollar's going to crash. What about the mountain of debt, $33 trillion? What about this? What about that? But at the end of the day, I have always found that the best indicator in the market, bar none, is earnings and earnings forecast and the interest rate environment, because those two, when multiplied by each other, equal the target price. And the earnings have been going up. You've heard my commercial ad nauseum. I recently updated it finally, that you know, earnings have been going up since 2009. Since the big crash, the financial crisis, which took us down 53%. Well, this should come as no surprise. Sam Bankman-Fried found guilty on all seven counts. You know, he's a smart aleck. I do not like Sam Bankman-Fried. I think he thought he was above the law and that he had, you know, connections. You know, his girlfriend was... her dad was an SEC, a big head honcho and whatnot, but it sounds like we should change it to Sam Bankman Fried, because he's gotten fried, and we don't know how long, but it sounds like life in prison for Mr. Fried.
Well, yeah, I think up to, I saw something where, you know, and they said it was, you know, highly likely to get lower than the maximum, but I think the maximum was somewhere like 110 years or something on, when you added up all the counts. So.
Yeah, a lot of money disappeared. I mean, he's right up there with Madoff, and he was using, that's just unheard of. I mean, that's unconscionable to use clients' accounts. Their money.
You can't commingle assets.
No.
Period. And even if whatever business you're in allows you to, you probably still shouldn't commingle assets.
Just unbelievable. And then not only was he commingling, he was betting on all his little things,
using it,
donating heavily to political candidates. What a jerk! We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, I learned something about crypto, Bitcoin especially, over the weekend. I was listening to an interview from an Israeli startup company that actually can trace through forensics, where the crypto is coming from. Okay, from place to place to place. And obviously they're using that to try to trace who's funding the Hamas there in the Gaza Strip. And they've got a pretty good idea. But, you know, the whole thing, wasn't it, Barry, that it was behind a wall that was untraceable and was in the dark web and all this kind of thing?
Yeah, to me it was always the fact that you could it was easier to identify, which makes sense because it's just a continuous, blockchain computer code. The point was, in the past where – let's say if you and I are doing trade, you're in China and I'm, here, and I'm paying for some goods that you're, delivering. There's got to be an intermediary, right? So
yeah.
The intermediary is the person who is going to take a chunk and be like, okay, same time, you got the stuff. Here's your, here's your money, and then there's the trade off because you and I don't know each other. And on a blockchain, well, essentially the blockchain is doing, serving that purpose, right, as that intermediary. So you basically, that you have good funds, right? In that example. But you may not know who it came from. That could be one piece of it, but, going back, I guess, and, tracking it. Essentially it's computer code, right? And, as we know, everything seems like it has some kind of trace at some point, but
that's what it sounds like. Cause he says, it's not as, anonymous as you think.
Well, remember we had the one operation, right, where somebody, basically we gave some crypto to turn some power. Remember that it was a few handful of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, where they did something to the pipeline, and then
we gave
the Bitcoin, and then somehow we traced it down, right, as CIA or something, right, and ended up busting the people. But so I guess there is ways to trace it, however that is. But
yes,
but they're in the business of doing it.
Las Vegas is bracing for its biggest worker strike in history. There's been more strikes here recently than I can remember. I think, is the UAW strike? I keep hearing different things. It sounds like it's over and they finally have come to an agreement.
Yeah, I think, I think things have to be signed likely, and I'm sure there's some, voted on, and I'm sure there's some kind of, lots of bureaucracy to get through to make it finalized. But yeah, it sounds like they have, essentially have an agreement in place. I don't think any, strikes are continuing. I'm pretty sure all of those have stopped. They just got to basically, dot the I's and cross the T's.
Las Vegas is next. It's the Culinary and Bartenders Union.
Yeah.
The strike deadline is November the 10th. at 5 p.m., so 1 week, and it looks to me like it's going to happen.
So you'll have no bellhops, no waitresses or no servers or no food.
most people like in Vegas just care about the bartender.
Yeah, they won't even have that. They won't even have that. So it seems kind of rough to do the desert with no liquid or food. Right? It sounds like a place you wouldn't want to go.
Well, as we expected, Apple's earnings did not impress. And, you've got a NASDAQ that just really exploded here this past week, and Apple is down 1.5%. I would just say that, Tim Cook is not the innovator that Jobs was. Of course, Jobs set the course, and when Jobs passed away, there was still plenty of updating to do and lots of things left to do and just, revising the old products have kept them alive. But at some point in time, Jobs was always innovating and creating
Cook's been
new
a great,
stuff.
Yeah, Cook's been certainly more of a great overseer, right, and has kind of, facilitated that vision. But, it's almost what we said. You almost need some kind of technological innovation there, right, to kind of push that next leg of growth. And is it in a $3,000 headset that you're going to put on, right? I don't think so.
Here's the numbers. Here's the numbers. Their sales growth this year, this is top line revenue sales growth, the first quarter of this year, -5% year over year. The second quarter, -3% year over year. The third quarter, -1% year over year. And this latest quarter, down 1%. So they had 123, we're doing 123 billion a quarter, and now they're down around $90 billion per quarter in sales. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just not the same growth stock that it was. Now, I'm not saying they can't turn it around, but again, it's an aircraft carrier. It's not easy to turn around an aircraft carrier. It's a $2.7 trillion company.
Well, and to sell us more services, right? They've got to have, you got to have more hardware, right? And so, I don't know what else they can sell me at this point, right? I got the phone. I've got the, normal, the Apple Care service, right? You got the storage, right? So, there's no
apps,
what's the next
news, subscriptions, it's just kind of maxed out, you would think.
Yeah. And so what's that next leg up, right? And of course, they've got their headset thing, right? Which is, $3,500. I hope my kids don't think it's going to be under the tree this year, because I don't think Santa Claus is bringing that.
No.
What is the next thing, right?
Well,
to kind of push them forward. Doesn't mean they can't find it.
No.
It's just, Cook certainly hasn't been that innovator, like you said,
no.
In terms of
Wall Street sees a lot of noise in his, a lot of homes, a lot of stuff but nothing really solid, to see, some big future growth. So, it is what it is. We sold our Apple several months ago after holding it for quite some time. And, we'll see if they can come up with something new. China to welcome Micron's expansion. This is good as relations with the U.S. Ease a little bit. Okay, I guess it's easing a little bit. It seems pretty standoffish to me. But that's good news for Micron. Micron's up 2.5%. It's been a very
been on
good
that
week.
Lower, and they've been on that lower end of the, terms of, chip style, right, and storage. I mean, they became a commoditized company at one point in time. And so, I guess maybe it's okay for them to, make their stuff there.
Yeah, they're not exactly a high
tech edge. Right, I guess.
But AMD has had just an unbelievable week. It's up another 1.5%. That really caught me by surprise, just how strong AMD's earnings, not so much their earnings, but their AI ambitions and update. And NVIDIA's also been carried higher this week. It's back up to 439. And ASM has participated in all of this. It's gone about 60 points to the upside, 40, 50 points this week. So it's been a really good week in the chip industry. And we would come back. I want to talk about one company. This is kind of a global, indicator. They're laying off 10,000 people. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. It seems to me like most of the action today is concentrated in the small cap stocks. And I think the reason for that is they react more favorably to a big drop in interest rates. They, believe it or not, the 10-year's down 15 basis points to 4.51. So I'm really not seeing the big tech. It's mostly I'm seeing a lot of small caps that are leading the way.
In small caps, their cost of capital is more expensive, given the fact that they're smaller companies and their debt is usually more short term.
Yes.
And so in doing so, they're much more interest rate sensitive. So
yes. Okay. Now you could say that these freighters that come in and out of the different ports around the world are an indicator of the global economy. Well, the name I see the most on these freighters is the Danish shipping giant A.P. Moller. And I actually know somebody who works for them in the Charleston Harbor area. They have an office there. But they're cutting 10,000 jobs worldwide as earnings plunge and freight rates fall. Okay, we're always looking for signs of a coming recession. I usually say it shows up in the jobs market first. We saw a little bit of weakness in the jobs market for the first time in a while, but, should we be concerned here that a big company like this, that, all these countries trading, around the world, they're cutting 10,000 jobs because freight rates fall. That means the demand for freighters and trade has gone down.
That's still part of that, kind of Chinese slowdown, which I think is partly that, has been less understood to a certain extent because, partly I think they don't want folks to know quite how slow they are.
They've been pretty quiet over there in China.
It really has. And I mean, just in terms of, we still get the, primary three, huge crane group whenever they drop off here, they're still pretty busy all the time, but when you look at the amount of traffic or amount of shipping, I mean there's slowdowns, of course, of grain and things coming out of Ukraine, so a lot of those those pieces of equipment haven't been in use.
No. Elon Musk warns that AI will make all jobs obsolete at some point in time. Okay, well, AI, take over. I go home, I'll go
make
fishing.
All jobs.
I'm going to turn this all over to AI, and you do it all, okay? AI can't strike. AI can't call in sick. I don't know where this goes, but that's what he says. Amazon, I never thought this was a very good idea. They're going to shut their bricks and mortar stores. I mean, that was the whole purpose of Amazon, so you didn't need the bricks and mortar stores.
Yeah.
They're going to focus on their grocery business, which obviously is Whole Foods Market. Amazon just continues to be, and they had a very good week also. Amazon had a good report out. They blew away earnings forecast, and Amazon's had a very good week. As a stock. Now, this current state of the bond market, well, after today, you may not be able to find deals like this now that we're back down at 4.5. But Humana, okay, just giving you some kind of an idea, 5.75 for 5 years. 5.75. If you're happy saying, you know, I wouldn't mind just having 5.75 for the next 5 years. And if interest rates go down, you also get a little bit on the principal side of things. For the longest time, we couldn't find anything over 3.5, right?
Yeah, we didn't buy a bond
for
over a year and a half.
We were not buying for a long time, and now there's a lot of high fives, low sixes.
Yeah, we added an add-on purchase of NXPI, the semiconductor company. I think it was just over 6 on a yield to worst.
Yes.
I think it was just under 4 years, but it's a... you know, there's certainly some unique opportunities there.
Yes, and that is, you know, I mean,
it has a fit. You know, it has a place in the portfolio.
I've studied all these alternative investments. You know, that's a big thing. Wall Street, they coined a new term, alternative investments. I've seen them come and go over the years. I remember the Prudential Limited Partnerships that blew up, of course, the non-traded REITs have blown up. The mortgage loans that they packaged and sold all over the world, they blew up. And I just came to the conclusion, you know, for somebody who is a low-risk type of person...
Well, at least for a portion, you can mathematically...
Or annuities, right? That's another... But if you want low fees, if you want pretty much...
And
you know,
still
the
have liquidity or marketability.
You have liquidity. It just seemed I determined at that point in time, this is going to be the alternative to stocks that I think is best for the people, for the really, really nervous. If you mention a NASDAQ to somebody and their left eye starts twitching and then their right eye starts twitching and they start shaking and their teeth start chattering, they're probably better off in bonds, individual bonds, that aren't very volatile. They move, you know, maybe a 25 cents one way or another every week. And at the end of the term, you know, you get your principal back. It's pretty rare. There have been some famous bond defaults over time.
Yeah, GM would probably be the most famous.
Yeah.
And kind of in 2008, just in terms of, you know, bonds that, you know, there were plenty of, at the,
yeah.
One of the reasons they defaulted at the time, there were plenty of GM bonds out there.
Yes, it's pretty rare. Okay, now, here's the disaster of the day. It's been a week where we've pretty much had the biggest winners over this past week. We've had a really good week. Now, Fortinet has come back somewhat. It was down 23%. Now it's only down 17%. But, you know, if you do the math, okay, so if you own 20 stocks in a portfolio and each one represents about a 5% position, and if one stock in that portfolio was down 17%, that's probably a third of a percent or so
overall
portfolio.
0.85 in that example, yeah.
Well, 85, so it is more than I thought. Okay,
so just add 0.75%.
Yes, but still, I mean, if you're diversified, but, you know, these things happen. Fortinet came out. They're a leader in cyber security.
And that space, I would have just, you know, that whole space you would have thought from, which is just odd, from, you know, just the onset of the Russian-Ukraine war or conflict, you would have, security stocks you would think would do, you know, need to do well in that period.
But it is
it's been a tough
between
space.
Between Cloudflare and CrowdStrike and, you know, Palo Alto Networks, it is a competitive. And the other one I'm surprised that's dropping today, it's down 3.5%. I thought they had a really good report. Is Restaurant Brands? It was breaking out yesterday. All right, so I'm not disappointed, but I thought it would do better. They came in with 5 cents. They beat, and their revenue missed a little bit. They had a very good comparable with in the Burger King segment. And of course, we're in that stock because of the management that has done a great turnaround before in the past. Patrick Doyle at Domino's Pizza, and now he's with Restaurant Brands. There are 4 brands, and QSR had a good report, but the stock is down 3.5% today. It's a small cap day. Funny, it's kind of strange how, and it's that interest rate environment. And then Booking. which is the old Priceline.com. They came in. I thought they had a good report. They beat earnings by $4.40. They beat on the bottom top line. The stock is down just under 1%, however, today. EOG, which is in the natural gas business, it's up 1.7%. It's a dividend payer that we own in the dividend portfolio. It pays 2.5% dividend.
Yeah, they beat earnings estimates and more importantly, production rose.
Yes. And then the one that also surprises me here because it's been so down and out. We don't own it. But Jack Dorsey's other company, Square, it's up 13% today. Probably a lot of short interest there. And that's also become a very competitive between PayPal, Square, Apple Pay, blah, blah, blah. You can go on and on and on with the payment companies.
And they've taken some market share from the likes of PayPal, right?
Yes, like
you said, it's a very competitive business. Of course, you know, Visa really, you know, kind of owned that at least payments business for years. But.
And then another big winner today, which we don't own, DraftKings is up 8% today. Cardinal Health is having a good day. DigitalOcean is having a good day. And when we come back, we'll take a little bit of a look underneath the surface. And I want to preview this week's newsletter just a little bit because there's a lot that happened this week that you need to read about and see where we're at right now in the market, especially going forward. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, in the newsletter that will come out tomorrow late afternoon, East Coast time, I will have a summary of the earnings reports from this past week. And has that moved the needle one way or another? Because it's all about the earnings forecast going forward. That's what's driven the market since 2009. Doesn't that make the market a whole lot easier to understand how it works? I have so many people that will say, you think the market's going to go down next year? It all depends on which way the earnings go. And if you focus on those earnings, it takes away all of the emotional type of stuff. Well, there's a lot of doomsday newsletters out there. There's a lot of people calling for this and calling for that. And at the end of the day, I mean, it seems to always come back to earnings and earnings forecasts. So how important is that? Extremely important. And then it's what we multiply those earnings forecasts by. That has a lot to do with the interest rate environment. When you've got a drop of 50 basis points, that could push your multiple back up to the 18 area from 17. I have to do the math and see where I come out on that. But we'll have a new target price for the S&P 500. I make my decisions. That once you have the macro forecast intact and feel pretty comfortable with it, then you start making your decisions from there as to what areas of the market you want to be in, if you want to be in the market at all. And that's another thing. You know, we just don't buy into this age-based asset allocation because there's a heck of a lot more than age in that equation there. What about the economy? What about geopolitics?
Financial planning factors. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
What about the interest rate? There's just all kinds of things that have to come into focus. And then if you're in the market, there's only a small area of the market that has worked this year. The rest of it's a desert. And so that's also is to find the verdant areas of that desert in the market. And that changes from year to year depending upon the environment. Who knows? Small caps have been left behind for quite some time. They're having a huge day today. I don't know if that's a harbinger of what's to come here in 2024, but I certainly am taking note of this. Generally speaking, you get rotation in the market from year to year, from one asset class to another. Some years will favor or it'll be a favorable environment for stocks outside of the U.S. Sometimes the commodity stocks will be a good place to be, depending upon the inflation environment and other things. So anyways, it's all got to come into account. The Best Stocks Now app is an invaluable tool for me. I invented it for myself. I use it all day long. We're going to flip the switch, hopefully today. There's one last thing I got to do with PayPal, so we'll see if I can get that done. Then you'll be able to start using the new version of the Best Stocks Now app. It's actually beststocksnowapp.com. Hopefully we'll get that switched over later today. If I can do my little part.
The number of moving parts is amazing.
Yeah, you know what? And
talk about some bureaucracy.
Well, and I've been endlessly proofreading just to make sure. There's still a few little things, but I think, you know, we can fix those on the fly. I've had a lot of cleaning up of the database to do, but there's some really good features, and it's going to be a lot easier to navigate the app. So anyways, the newsletter this weekend, to get two free weeks, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. I also pick out the top stories from this past week.
Golly, and the number of stories, that's just unbelievable.
So it's a little bit like an aggregation of only the very best stories that are either earnings-related, stock market-related, economy-related over this past week. The technical analysis is critical. Last week, we were at a juncture, and I said, you know, the market is sitting here. It's either going to break down through this support level, because we were stretched to the max. And I said, but the only reason for that would be a black swan event, like what is going on in Israel. I said, the earnings and the bond market support a higher market from here, or we're going to get a big snapback in the market. And it ended up being the big snapback, which is a good deal there. So anyways, that technical analysis is also critical. It keeps you out of the desert areas of the market and tries to keep you in the more verdant pastures, because, you know, the technical analysis is part of the overall picture.
Yeah, it's how you avoid a value trap. I mean,
yes, that's our, you know, valuation is very important. Momentum, relative strength is very important. And then just a visual. you could look sometimes at a person and say, that guy doesn't look good. Or, he doesn't look right this week, right? And you could do the same thing with the stock. We had a friend, he was a very famous racehorse trainer. He's trained thousands of horses over his lifetime. He could look at a horse at his ankles, at his hoofs, at his knees. Right. He even said, I had a bad knee. But anyways, he would look at their hocks, their everything. And he could tell, oh, no, I wouldn't bet on that one. But, you know, because he's looked at thousands of horses in his life. And, you know, it's the same in the stock market with those charts. So, anyways, two free weeks of the newsletter by going to GundersonCapital.com. We've had a lot of appointments this week talking to folks. You know, the Bloomfield Hills people, we've been talking to them a lot after being there for a couple of days 2 weeks ago. We got out of Dodge just in time as the weather started.
Cool, didn't it?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, it dropped 50 degrees here,
dang,
too.
Yeah, then it hit us. So anyways, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us and talk to us, if you're just in a shotgun blanket asset allocation that buys everything in the world, that just makes no sense to me. You have to be more tactical than that. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Start getting positioned for 2024. How is it shaping up? Two free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.